Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden. I am the senior pastor here at Real Life Ministries Texas, and I am joined with my podcast partner, my good friend, co-laborer in ministry, Lori Arnold.
Hi, friends.
And we are so grateful to have you and to be part of this podcast and to be joining us. And if you have... if this is your first time, we would encourage you to go back, watch other episodes that we have, different series that we've done, because on this podcast, what Lori and I decided and we talked about for years is being able to do this together and bring our different perspectives onto different topics in the Christian walk and to talk about them in a real way. Like, what does this really look like and lived out? And I don't know that we've had a series that we've done that's probably more pertinent or applicable than this one that we're on right now. For all of you that are listening, when it comes to the issue of parenting and what that looks like in just a constant, crazy, changing world and trying to keep up with things like social media and sports and activities and everything that our kids today are being exposed to and around. And so we wanted to hit these topics head on and to be able to talk about that on this podcast. And so Lori, you know, what I would love to do is to jump into this topic today. And I know it hits everybody differently. Yeah. There is not a one size fits all. You know, we're going to talk about different ways that for Amber and I, how we've approached it, for how you and Kevin have approached it, and navigating the issue of parenting and social media. Yeah. Even saying it, I'm like, ugh, right? Like, oh my goodness. It's a tough one. And so, so what I want to do is just start at this place and kind of, you know, just from a high level, when you hear that topic and you think about it with your kids and what you and Kevin have navigated, just kind of some thoughts, what place for us to start and jump off from.
Yeah, well, when I hear it, I get a little tense just because I don't think our kids even know. I'll say my kids, your kids may know, but I don't think my kids know the gravity of the impact of social media and how it can influence their lives.
Yeah.
And in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like it's just another thing because this is what their friends are doing, or all the other kids in school have all of these things and all of these apps and sure. All, you know, so sure. Why can't they have these things, sure. You know, or why is it limited or whatever it may look like. And I just think that it can be a great tool. It mm-hmm. has been for me personally, mm-hmm. But it also comes with some amazing, not amazing in a good way, some great challenges as
for
well.
For sure.
Just because I think it's one of the ways that the devil gets in. I mean, it's gotcha. One of the ways that relationship has been changed
right.
too.
Yes.
You know, yep. just the relationship between people don't even know how to talk to each other
right.
anymore
right.
unless they're sitting behind a computer screen or, you know, their mm-hmm. thumbs on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I believe that a lot of people find safety in that, but it's avoiding having the very necessary face-to-face conversation that can be life-changing. And so there are many, many things I think about social media.
Right, right. Yeah. I think a couple things to help guide the conversation mm-hmm. today is when it comes to social media, I think there's two major pieces of it. What our kids are taking in. Mm-hmm. So the pressures, the comments, the things through the different platforms that are out there mm. that may be influencing, you know, things like what is success or what are body types or what are what they should be doing and the pressures and all of those things. Because without, you know, before social media, so I know when I was growing up, that wasn't even a thing or a word. Yeah. there's certainly the teen pressures and all of those things. So without social media, it's tough going through those stages of life, preteen, teen, and so on. And now, you know, so there's kind of what they're taking in and policing that, if you will, or parenting them through that, putting safeties in place. So there's that part. But then there's the part of what they are posting that they write, and them understanding. You know, I had a friend of mine say that that some of the social media stuff is like the bathroom walls, right? Like what people write on the bathroom walls. And so much can be posted, and then you're not held accountable, you know, for it or whatever. And so I think as a parent, trying to parent our kids through both things. And so a place that I, you know, that I would, like, you know, start with that in that conversation. And maybe for any of you that are listening, that are parents that are right in the middle of all this, or you're getting ready to go into it. I think Amber and I, maybe we didn't realize it as much early on, but it became evident when our kids were nearing graduating high school or even now into college. What helped us navigate it was not even so much the conversation about social media. It was the conversations we were having at the dinner table. It was the relational time in the car, and being able to have an openness of talking about things like dating, sex, their walk with the Lord, the, you know, just life in general, of being open with that and not panicking when they were embarrassed or you know, avoiding conversations because we didn't want to talk about hard things, but having that as part of the culture of our home. So when we were sitting at a dinner table, or Amber was going with one of our girls to the store and they were having a conversation in the car or wherever the situation was, that we could talk about other things. So when something came up in social media, or they were wanting to respond with a nasty gram or whatever, we could talk about it right then. Yeah. And it hasn't been perfect, but that culture in the home that starts at a dinner table, it's the example I use, or maybe, you know, it's in the living room over, you know, whatever, dessert or game night or time together as a family. That's what helped the social parent them through social media a lot better. So thoughts that you have on that?
No, I think that's great. You mentioned like not panicking whenever they share something with you. And I think that's huge. I think that's one of the things that has helped Kevin and I, as we navigate this whole parenting journey, is the fact that my face typically doesn't change a whole lot when my parent, when my kids tell me something. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, of course, if it's celebratory news, I'm going to celebrate with a smile and I probably jump up and down. But when they tell me something that I may be going crazy on the inside, I'm like, why would they do that? Or, you know, I don't let them know that that's where I'm at, you know, and that has, I have heard many things, many things, especially from one of my children, things that I never would have thought I would have heard as a parent, because she feels safe to share those things with us. And I just said who it was because I said she, sorry, whatever. But, you know, so I think that's really, really important that we make sure that we are creating. It's the same thing as with any relationship, you know, you want to have a safe place to share and you can only go as deep as you, you know, create the space for. And if you have to have trust, you have to build trust, and that's not just for kids to do, you know, we have to do that with them as well, you know? And so, having that safe place to share, and it creates the opportunity to have those important dialogues, like, as you said, about social media, whether it be what they're posting or what they're receiving, because I know that that's been one of the things is for me and Kevin is navigating, how do we teach our kids even how to respond in situations, whether that be verbally or, you know, physically, whatever that looks like. So, I just am in full agreement of what you said.
I think also a part that you were saying, you didn't use the word, but there's an element of having the courage to step into the hard, the having the courage to go, you know, I have to remember, even as my kids were getting, you know, into late teens, that I'm still the parent. And the world promotes a thing right now that we're buddies with our kids, we're friends with our kids. And I know this pushes a button in you. And I'll say you do a great job with this. I've watched you and Kevin both. Like we're not your friends. We're your parents. We can be friendly, but yeah. We're your parents. And I think Amber and I have really tried to hold to that. Amber makes it very clear with our kids about who the parent is. And as much as our oldest, over the years has thought they're also, kind of mom part yes. two, but that we have the courage to step in as the parent and to say, no, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
I know you're not happy about this. I know you don't understand right now, but, we're going to step in here and you're not doing this, or no, we're shutting this down, or no, that, as you said, that app isn't okay.
Yeah.
Don't really care that you're friends or whatever. And being able to draw some lines and something that's helped me in that is we're in such a reactionary, emotional, emotion driven time and culture. Everything seems at the moment like it's just catastrophic or yeah. and I would be willing to bet that 3 days, if not 1 day to 3 days, and certainly 7 days later, that issue isn't a big deal. It's something new.
Yes.
And remembering that in the back of my mind, the courage to step into that moment and draw some hard lines or keep a safe boundary or protect my child from an app or whatever that it is, mm-hmm. is critical. And to know in a few days, that's going to pass.
Yeah.
So I guess what I've learned and try to apply is the tyranny of the urgent shouldn't drive us in dictating whether or not we're going to draw a hard boundary.
Yeah.
I can genuinely say this, and I never really have been interested in just being my kid's friend.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is too high.
Yeah.
And they don't need me to be their friend. They need me to be their dad.
Right.
And this is what we're going to do. And I don't want it to sound like in a sense of like, I'm always just harsh, but there's been many times I'll ask my, especially when they got into the teen years, I'd ask my kids, what do you think I'm thinking?
Oh yeah.
what do you think I'm going to think about this? And probably 99% of the time they're right. So then what do you think you should do? Right. And they're like, and I've just been able, and Amber has used that, as well. We just had it with our college, one of our college, our one of our sons that's in college right now. He called us, this was 2 nights ago, and it was a response to something in social media.
Yeah.
And he was really frustrated and upset by it. It was with a friend and all of this. And he was asking about it and telling us what he was going to do. It was a terrible decision. And he paused and he goes, Dad, I know what you're going to say. I said, oh, really? What is it that I'm going to say?
Yeah.
And he quoted exactly what I was going to say. And he goes, yeah, I know what I need to do. So that, though, was built, as I was saying earlier, by conversations with when they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in different environments and cultures that could help govern some of that we're dealing with now. When you mentioned and talked about kind of hearing the things from your kids, or maybe you've come across something in social media that you're like, dang it, I didn't want that for them, or they've responded poorly, or they were exposed to mm-hmm. something that was awful.
Yeah.
Talk through, like, how do you navigate that with your kids? You talked about with your face, I'm not going to, but what has helped you, or maybe, or how you would navigate that with your kids when it's maybe not a great situation, mm-hmm. but you're going to parent them through it, not mm-hmm. excuse it or whatever. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I will say, when I'm grateful to say that we have not had many of those occasions mm-hmm. because we have set some pretty tight boundaries.
Okay.
And that's another thing you mentioned boundaries, and that looks different for everyone, for all the kids. They all have different personalities mm-hmm. and there's no one size fits all.
Right.
And that goes for us. We've got differences in the way that we've parented our kids yep. based off of who they are, who we are.
Right.
But we did have an instance where they were exposed to things that they should not have seen. Mm-hmm. And so we did have, just like you mentioned, we have that relationship already where we were able to sit and have the conversation about how it made them feel. What do they think we need to do in order to help them,
right?
You know, now moving forward. Mm-hmm. And we talked and worked through that together. And it wasn't so much a, from now on, this is what we're going to do. We have to do this. And sometimes we have those moments, mm-hmm. but we have such a relationship. We were able to talk about it and how we would work with that together, as mm-hmm. opposed to just putting these rules on them.
Right.
And so that made it very, it just made it very fluid. And yeah. they also understand the why mm. of why some of the boundaries that we have are in place. Mm. And so having said that, we did have some tighter boundaries around social media and computer use, period, and phone use.
Yeah.
Because now you can access everything from the palm of your hand, like while it's in, you know, from a cell phone.
Right.
And so for us personally, like I mentioned, we did have, and my son now is about to graduate in a couple weeks. And it was just this year that we started lifting some of those things mm-hmm. off of his cell phone mm-hmm. so that, because he's going to be a man,
right.
you know?
Right, yeah.
And so we want him to have the responsibility. And that's sure. something actually that I talked to Amber about mm-hmm. a while back, you know, yeah. how did you navigate this? Mm-hmm. And she's like, little by little, you know, we gave them certain responsibilities. And because the reality is, I don't want to keep them in this bubble.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're out in the real right. world and don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
And so it's been pretty nice for us mm-hmm. in that regard. We do get the, now our two younger, they want to do everything the older one does.
Right.
So they're upset that they don't have the cell phone mm-hmm. yet, or that they didn't get this at the same time he did. And they right. didn't get, you know, and like, you're a totally different kid, you know,
for sure.
and with different everything, yeah. just with different everything.
Yep.
So we're not going to approach it the same. So that goes far in our house, like just letting them know that just because this happened with one doesn't mean that the other one, that you're going to get exactly the same thing as them. But having those boundaries in place and helping them to understand the why, mm-hmm. and once again, continuing to have conversation.
That's so good.
Anytime something comes up,
yeah.
anytime. And yeah. we've had some hard ones. We make sure there are usually those conversations happen with just Kevin and I and that one kid.
Right.
Because the other ones yep. don't need to know all of it,
yep.
you know, mm-hmm. but boundaries has truly helped us to where we haven't had to deal with a lot of that. They haven't been exposed to as many things as soon as some others sometimes because of the boundaries that we've set. But we try to catch stuff on the front end so that they're prepared for it when they do
mm-hmm. That's
come
great.
To those moments, if that yep. makes any sense.
Yeah. I think to that point of boundaries, just some practical things. You listed some things there. You know, if somebody's listening, going, well, what were the boundaries? What were the practical things? For us, we called it the basket. When mm-hmm. you came in the door, there was a basket there that your cell phone went in. There was no cell phones at dinner table. Mm-hmm. There was a time limit. Cell phones were all brought in. I'm firmly convinced nothing positive.
Yeah.
is going to occur with a teenager
yeah.
through a cell phone past probably 9-10 o'clock at yep. night. Nothing of, I just, the chances of anything not good just yeah. radically start going up. Mm-hmm. And that part of that is knowing your own kid and all of those things. And so having some of those boundaries, you know, times, locations, you know, for, you had said this earlier, we were really clear with our kids about who owned that cell phone.
Yes.
It is not your cell phone. Yes. It's our cell phone that we are allowing you to use. We're paying for it. It's ours. And we reserve the right to remove it at any point.
Yeah.
And so we were pretty clear with that along the way. And there were moments where it had to be removed
yeah.
as a disciplinary tool. And with probably all of our kids at one point had an issue where that was part of a punishment of taking yeah. it away. And so, because of poor stewardship of it. So, you know, those are some of the boundary mm-hmm. things that we put in place that was helpful.
Yeah.
And so any other kind of final thoughts on it as we, you know, wrap this up, or other boundary things that you and Kevin came across or helpful hints you would give to parents out there?
I think that sometimes this can be scary for parents. Mm-hmm. Like they don't know how to approach it and what to say and what to do. And so just reiterating the point that the conversation begins before the conversation of social media.
Yeah.
It makes it so much easier to talk about all the things when you have that relationship. So that's one of the ways I can help that, as well as it's okay to ask for help and ask other people what they're doing. We all go through this.
Right.
There's so many people. I mean, there's so many people that right now probably listening could say me too, you know,
right.
me too. Cause you're not alone. You're not the only person in the world that's had a kid that's seen stuff on the internet that they shouldn't have seen, or, you know, they're using their phone in an inappropriate way or the computer or whatever it may be, you know? And so, if you don't have your people, find some people,
because
we can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what it feels like. And that makes it scary, especially when your kid is also saying, well, my friend's parents don't do this, you know?
Right.
So then, you know, I think it's important to have a right perspective of all of that.
Yeah. And I would also, and all of that. And you had said earlier, you had asked Amber, being able to find those people around you that maybe are a little further ahead. What did they go through? Ask those questions. And if you are a parent that has navigated it well, I really encourage, you know, to be open to those around you that may ask to help them or, you know, participate in being able to, because we kind of got to do this together.
Yes.
You know, we're in a generation and in a season that's just, it's changing, as I said at the beginning, so fast. And what one tactic right now works, then the whole platform of all of it changes or adjusts. So I think we need to be, I think, have some humility, willingness to learn, ask questions, all of those things. And then, and I want to close with this. If you have a situation where, you know, maybe it is that you've had a teen that's been looking at pornography, or, I mean, there's just some major issues that are going on, I want to encourage people to not live in a place of shame and to step out and go, let's get help. Let's get ahead of this. Let's not allow it to fester into something that's worse and worse. And so I just would really encourage people to be able to get help, because it's out there, and to not just live in a place of shame and failure and I can't admit it or tell anybody, because the devil plays in the dark. So, well, thank you, everyone that's joined us, and hopefully you found this episode helpful and encouraging, that the Lord is with us and can help us in walking through and navigating these real issues in life. If you missed the opening episode on parenting, I would encourage you to go back and watch and join us for the next episode, because we're going to be tackling another difficult subject that we face in today's world in parenting. And so, God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.